Hello. How's everybody doing this morning? It's still morning, right? Okay, let me get myself situated here. Let's see. You will not need pen and paper, but you will need to stand up right now. We're going to play a little game. So everybody just stand up if you're able. If you're not able, don't stand up. But if there are some people who can't stand up, get them involved with you right now. Be near them. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to keep this very simple. Playing a little game, and here's how it goes. Find 5, 10, 11 people in your row, just whatever you want to make a demarcation. You're going to get with 5 to 10 people in your row. So think about who those people are right now. I want one person in that group. One person in that group is going to be the team lead. And they need a pen or a pencil or their index finger. So you don't necessarily need a pen or a pencil. You can use your index finger if you like. Here's what I want you to do. Team leads. Team leads. You're going to tap your finger on the chair behind you or in front of you for about 15 seconds. And here's what the rest of the team is going to do. They are going to turn their backs to you. Turn your back to your team lead right now. So go ahead and do that. Turn your back. You're going to completely ignore your team lead. Team leads, get ready. Get ready, team leads. You got 15 seconds. Here's the object. Tap your finger or pen on that chair as many times as you can in 15. Wait, hold on. You aren't listening to the directions, okay? When I say go, you're going to tap for 15 seconds. Ready, go. Stop. Think about the number you have in your mind right now. The number of times you tap that finger or pen or pencil, okay? Keep that in mind. Here's what I want your team to do now. Your team is going to face you, and they're going to look at you as you do the same thing for 15 seconds. They're just going to look at you, all right? You're trying to do it as many times as you can. Ready? Go! Stop! How many of you got a better number? Okay, here's point number 3. Your team is now going to encourage you. They're going to clap. They're going to cheer, they're going to holler for you to get more than you got before. Get ready, get set, go! Stop! 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 How many got a better number that time? Okay, I got one more round for you. Here's how it goes. Here's how it goes. Listen up. You now talk to each other. Everything's on the table. Any ideas, any possibilities are open. How can we get more taps? Any possibilities are open. You got 30 seconds to talk it over. What? Your finger. You can use your finger. You don't have to. Stop. Stop. Okay, listen up. This is your last round. This is it. You got to do as best as you can this time. Hopefully you've got a better idea on Get It, here's the deal. We're going to tap pen or pencil or finger as many times as we can. Everything's on the table. All possibilities are open. Ready? Go! Stop! Stop! How many did better this time? Okay, you can have a seat. Let me ask, who's got a number for me out there? Just yell it out.
80.
Eight. Who's got 80 beat? Okay, who's got 100 or more? Okay, can I have my assistant, somebody who's got 100 or more? This lady's got 100 or more? Okay, we've got somebody over here with 100 or more right there. Sorry, I just saw her first. Tell me what you did to get over. What did you get the first time?
We just counted, and she did 100 of them, or just under 100.
Okay, how about the first time?
That was the first time.
Okay, how about the last time?
We all pitched in and did it with her.
Okay, so you got more than 100, right?
140.
So everybody started tapping, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. So everybody tried different things. I had somebody asking me for another pen here. Again, you could use your finger. What's that? A drumstick. Okay, very good. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. So the object of this game is to get your mind into what I'm going to be talking about. And the subject I'm going to be talking about, I want to thank Mr. Jacobs yesterday for setting me up today. Perfect segue into what I'm getting into today. But I'm going to get into a word called synergy. And you may have heard that word bandied about out in the world these days. It's a popular word. I'm going to attribute some of my material today to Mr. Stephen Covey, who passed away a few years ago. Wrote an interesting book called The Third Alternative. I'm going to give some of this to God and the Holy Spirit too. And we're going to provide you with some information on synergy in relation to unity. And in this exercise, you experienced a little bit of synergy on a physical level. But what if we take this concept of synergy and take it into the spiritual realm? And I'll explain why I'm thinking that as we go. But I wanted you to experience a little bit of what we're talking about today, and that word is synergy. Now, what is the definition? There are various definitions out there. It's not your way. It's not my way. It is a third way, a higher way, a deeper way. When we think of synergy, we think of 1 plus 1 equals 3 or equals 50 or equals 500. It's beyond expectation. It's beyond the norm. It's something other is what synergy is, and synergy occurs in the physical world. Synergy occurs in nature. You can turn to Romans 1:20, of course. We're not going to go there at this moment, and read about the fact that God's magnificence, what God is all about, can be seen within what we see in nature. And I want to give you a couple examples of that right now. Let's talk about the redwood trees, and other trees do this also. What they do is they interlock their roots beneath the earth. By interlocking their roots, it keeps them upright. It keeps them safe when major windstorms occur. I've got some little trees in my backyard that have gone down with major windstorms because they don't have this interlocking root system. Another example of synergy is what we had going on up here not too long ago. Music, all right? We had people singing. We had people playing various musics. And when you bring that all together, you get synergistic things happening. You get synergy occurring. Something different than if one person played one instrument by themselves, than if one person sang a song by themselves. And I think we like all of that stuff that was going on up here with all the music and all the instruments. Another example in nature is geese flying in a V formation. And we know that the goose in front is having a tougher time of it, but the flapping of the wings by the geese creates an updraft that allows them to fly longer than they could if only one goose was flying at a time. We've got another example when you think of bearing weight. When you put two pieces of wood together, that can support much more weight than a single piece of wood supports by itself, and that second piece of wood supports by itself. And then also we can think about snowflakes as an example of synergy. The particles in a water drop work together to create that snowflake, that unique snowflake among all other snowflakes that we don't really notice when we see snow falling. There are numerous examples in nature of synergy taking place. And what is it? What did you guys just do in the exercise in that last round? Let's think of some new ideas, some other possibilities. And when you have more minds working together, you have more possibilities, more possible positive outcomes. Now, is unity hard? Oh, yeah. It is hard. It is hard. But anything that's really worth something, folks, is hard. It's not easy. Conflict will be there. Debate will be there. That's part of the whole process to get to that other place, that other place beyond the place you think of or they think of, but a third place, a beyond place. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Let's see it in the scriptures. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. From what has been made, we see pieces of what God is all about. We don't have the full picture. We see through that glass darkly, but we get some of it. Now, as I've been talking about synergy here, you've probably figured out that when we talk about synergy, you could say that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And that sounds very similar to something over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So let's take a look at that for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Let me repeat that. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Indispensable. So you're probably thinking about some stuff right now. I'm sure there's stuff going on in your head. Let me just give you a quick vignette about that.
So we had a fellow that used to come to my church with mental illness, paranoid schizophrenia. And he was coming to our church because he had been rejected at another church within the greater churches of God. They didn't want him coming back because sometimes he would get off his medication. He would do that. He was supposed to take that medication. And I know there's problems when he got off his medication. But I said, come on, man, I'm going to sit next to you. We only have a dozen, so, you know, it's easy to sit next to him. It's easy to control the situation if he did get off his medication. But I said, we're going to bring you to church. He lived in Baltimore. Our church is in Gaithersburg. Me and another guy in the group used to take turns. One would go up and bring him down. The other one would take him back. I didn't like to do it, folks. I'll be straight with you. I didn't want to drive an hour to Baltimore and come back an hour. And the other fellow who was helping do this didn't like to do it either. But the weaker parts are indispensable because by driving an hour, I got something. And one day, this guy said to me, I'm glad you guys come and get me. I'm glad you guys drive up here because nobody else is doing that for me. People have rejected me, have kicked me out of their church because I stopped taking my medication, got a little different for a bit. Indispensable. The weaker parts are indispensable because you understand what love is when you work with the weaker parts. You get a better handle on what love is and who's love. What are we trying to get to? No, it ain't easy. It's hard. It's hard. Love is hard. Now, what is synergy? Let's talk a little bit more about it. Let's get into some details, some characteristics of synergy. I'm going to give you four. You can read the literature. You will find others' characteristics that are mentioned about synergy. But let's look at number one, willingness here. And here's what I want you to do. The person right next to you, you don't have to get up. I'm not going to make this hard, okay? I want you to talk to the person right next to you. Here's what I want you to ask them or tell them. You're going to do this together. You're going to share. One person's going to share, then the other person's going to share back. Here's what you're going to share. I know you know somebody in your life who is difficult for you. Somebody it's hard to talk. They might be right next to you, okay? Okay? They might be right next to you. All right? But think of someone, get them in your head right now, who's difficult for you in life. Okay, I'm going to admit it. My wife. My wife's here, not here in the building, but she's here, okay? I love my wife. My wife's not in the church, but I'm learning more and growing more with my wife than I think I would have if I was married to someone who's committed and in the church. And I'll explain that to you later, okay? I'll explain why I'm saying that later. Because it's hard for love to happen, for love to grow, for love to exponentially grow. So here's what I want you to do. The person next to you, I want you to describe this difficult person to them. Tell the person why they're difficult in 30 seconds. I'll take a break, I'll tell you, and then you're going to have the other person share with you. 30 seconds, go. Why this person is difficult for you. Okay, break, have the other person now share the person that's difficult for them with you. Why is this person difficult? Go. Okay, break it up, break it up. Let's come back together. Let's bring it back. Did that feel good? I had to stop you. You were still talking after 30 seconds. I've done this exercise. What I'm doing right now at work, I'm an instructor at work. We use this exercise in one of our classes. And I try to give them a little more time to talk, and I have to break it up. I have to break this up. People don't want to stop talking about the person that's difficult for them, okay? And that's okay. That's okay. But here's what I want you to do now. We're going to flip it on its head. You're now going to talk about that very same person, and you're going to come up with strengths that that person has. Strengths that that person... Now, some of you are saying, I can't think of any. Yes, you can. If you have to tell me that they have white teeth or they chew their food properly, you're going to come up with something that is a strength for this person. You're going to think about a strength for this difficult person. Because to get to synergy, one of the things you got to have is a willingness. You got to want to synergize. You got to want to synergize. If you are not willing, you're not going to unite. You're not going to get to the third alternative, to something bigger and better than anything that you can think of or the other person can think of by themselves. You've got to be willing. This is an exercise in coming to the conclusion that there is some redeeming quality in that person, that difficult person, whoever that is defined by your mind. The strength of this person, 30 seconds. Okay, break, break, break. The other person now gets to give the strengths of their difficult person to you. 30 seconds, go. Okay, break it up, break it up. Good job. Thanks for participating. Thanks for helping me out here. So another little story for you that relates to what we just talked about, making sure there's a willingness there. So this is going back a few years. I'm not going to name any names here, but I knew a man in the church who had problems with homosexuals. He was weirded out by homosexuals, okay? And I don't like the lifestyle, don't approve of the lifestyle. I know what God's word says on homosexuality. I also know this. God says he wants to save all. And I know somebody in here feels weird about homosexuals. I know somebody in here feels weird about a member of ISIS who's chopping somebody's head off. I know somebody in here feels weird about you fill in the blank. You fill in the blank, whatever it is for you. What was it 2,000 years ago? Leprosy? Whatever it may be. You fill in the blank. But here's one story. So I talked to this guy, and I did a sermon, and I talked about reasons out there why people get into this lifestyle. Okay, I talked about various possibilities. We're not going to get into all that now. But I agree that it is a sin. It is a sin just like Me lusting after other women would be a sin. Right? Isn't that a sin too? You think thoughts don't still pop into my head? Wow, an elder saying that up there? Because I'm being real with you. I'm being honest with you. I'm being vulnerable with you. Why? Because that's where it's at, man. That's where it's at. Reality. Let's be real. Let's quit hiding behind facades. So I fight things, and I think you do too. You don't have to tell me what it is. You don't have to tell me what it is. But when you tell somebody what it is, you create a space for them to then tell you what their issue is. When you open up with people, that's when you start getting synergistic. That's when you start getting to that other alternative that we're not at, man. The church is not there. It is fragmenting rather than unifying. But you know what? There's great possibility. If we don't have it together, we got a lot of great work we can do. Flip it on its head. Don't look at it as negative. Look at it as positive. Wow. We got work to do. So let's go back to the story. Where was I in that story? Okay. Yeah, so, sorry about that. So this fella's got problems with homosexuals. He used to meet with me on a regular basis. He doesn't now. So I give a sermon about it, and I talk about the possibility within that, that God wants to convert them, okay? That he's after them too, you know? And this guy, he finally, you know, I made a couple good points, and we talked about it. So what happens to this guy not long after this? This is weird, man. It's weird. So look, Mr. Jacob started talking yesterday. I was like, wait a minute. That relates to stuff I'm going to talk about. It was weirding me out. I've had some weirding out experiences in my time in the church. So this guy ends up in an apartment far away from where he was living before. And there are a couple of alternative lifestyle people living next door to him. So, you know, you meet these people, you live in the same apartment building, you're talking to them, you get to know them. As he's talking to one of these individuals, they're interested in what he's talking about in relation to the church. They actually have an ear for it. This is a long process. It's a long story. I'm just giving you the major details. To make a long story short, this person eventually leaves that lifestyle because of this person's witness to them. It didn't take a week. It didn't take a month. But it occurred. And I know this story very well because I ended up baptizing that person. I know that story very well because I baptized that person. I know these people. This person is continuing to live the godly lifestyle. This guy was totally not willing at one point. So why did I do that exercise? I want you to think about it. That's point number one on characteristics of synergy. Point number two, you've got to have a win-win mentality. You've got to want to win. That's easy, right? We all want to win. But you got to want the other person to win also. When you think of church fragmentation, that's not happening, okay? That's not happening. Now, how can I say that? Second Peter, let's take a look at it. 3 verse 9. 2 Peter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. Not wanting anyone to perish. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. 1 Timothy 2 and 4. Here's what we got there. 1 Timothy 2 and 4. Let me pick it up in 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So let's go back to the Old Testament. I see a theme here. Let's take a look at the prophet Joel. Joel chapter 2. And we'll pick it up there in verse 28. Joel 2, 28. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. All people. And we read about this yesterday a bit, but let's turn over to Micah chapter 4 and verse 2 only. Micah 4 and verse 2. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." He wants all people, right? He wants win-win. He's about win-win. Not just for you, not just for the church, but for all people. And that makes unity a lot harder, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. It makes it a lot harder. Choice still has to happen, but he's going to help the process a bit, isn't he? He definitely is going to help the process a bit. So that's a second characteristic that I'm giving you here for synergy. And a third characteristic is seek first to understand, then to be understood. Seek first to understand, then let them understand you. Now where do you think that? Think about that phrase a minute. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. And I want you to think about your Savior for a moment. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. So if I'm thinking about Jesus Christ and his life, that he was God and he became man to really get man. Now some people say, well, he didn't really need to get man. He knew all about man. Did he? I'm not going to answer the question. I'm just going to let you think about it. I don't know the answer to the question. But when he came down here and became man, when he was man, he got what he needed to understand to be that high priest that he is right now. He got it. There's a scripture we're familiar with along those lines. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Because here's the deal. When I'm talking to my wife, and we start going back and forth, oh yeah, we go back and forth sometimes, folks. Me and my wife, I'm sorry to tell you that. We get into disagreements. Okay, we have discussions. But what I've noticed is, when I shut my mouth, I got a big mouth too. When I shut my mouth and listen, there's a calmness that comes quicker than if I keep my mouth going. And when I listen, I actually hear. Because when I'm talking, I don't hear. When I'm talking, I don't hear. You get what I'm saying? Seek first to understand. The alternate lifestyle person I was telling you about, do you know what their early life was like? Do you know they lived under their porch as a 4, 5, and 6-year-old kid? That the adult who was supervising them put them under a porch to live. Put them under a porch with dirt to sleep on. You don't know that story, right? You didn't hear that. So why am I telling you that? Because I want to get real. Some people do crazy things because this world will make you crazy. You don't know those people. You don't know their story until you seek first to understand, become a friend, build rapport. Just hear the story. My friend who lived next door to those folks just listened for a while. And then they started asking him questions. Do we do that enough? Do we just listen? Or do we come on strong with what is right? Who's right? Who's the only one who's right? Okay, I don't see the spirits here. It's working in us. We just got to let it rip. We got to let it go. You got to let it out. Seek first to understand, then be understood. Another characteristic of the third alternative, it's beyond your expectations. It's something bigger and better than you could have imagined. Now you're going to say, well, how do you come up with, you know, something bigger and better? Unity. Many minds working together will create something bigger and better. Why do I say that? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard. I'm sorry. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. I want you to think about this scripture for a minute. Because I know we're familiar with this scripture, but I want you to think about this scripture for a minute. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. We can't even conceive of what it is right now. That's other. That's beyond. Now, do we have an inkling into this? Yeah, turn with me to Isaiah 65, 17. The title of this was Synergy in the Kingdom. Look at Isaiah 65, 17, thinking about 1 Corinthians 2, 9. Isaiah 65, 17. Isaiah 65, 17. Here's what we read there. Isaiah 65, 17. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. New heavens, new earth. Do we really get that? We can't really completely fathom that. We can read the prophecies in the Old Testament about what that kingdom's like, but this world is so different from that that it's hard to get your mind around it. We got an idea of what it's like, but he says there's even more beyond that. There's something more. Now, I just gave you some characteristics on synergy, and I'm talking about this something more. Why? Why synergy in God's kingdom? Why bring them all together? He wants everybody, right? He wants all these different folks who have all these different experiences. And I've learned some lessons. being an elder in the church. You get calls from people you aren't crazy about going to see. And here's the deal, gang. I'm not getting paid for this, okay? I'm not getting paid for this. They give us a little, I've got to be honest with you, they give us a little money to go to the feast, okay? And they pay our expenses to travel when we got to go speak in another city. But that's it. I'm not getting paid for this, all right? You guys are paying me. I work for the government. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I'm going to give you a hand for that, okay? When I said government, that I'm sure somebody in the audience has an issue with the federal government, okay? But that's okay. I'm with the government. I'm here to help you. So come talk to me after the service, okay? Have willingness to talk to me if you've got a problem with the federal government. I'll give you another perspective, okay? I know there are negative perspectives. Believe me, I work in it. I know there are negative perspectives. Okay, getting back to the program here. Sorry. Okay, I lost my place. Here we go. Why? So why is God into unity? Why is he want everyone in that kingdom? Why all these disparate experiences is he going to bring in? Let's talk a little bit about that. So if we could boil it down, to oneness and unity that is going to be occurring in the kingdom. And there's a scripture that I remember when I got early in the church. This was a scripture that excited me. I don't hear it as often today, but I want to mention it over in Romans 8:18. Romans 8:18, you guys are probably familiar with this scripture. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly. We're looking for this birthing. We're looking for this new heavens and a new earth. Creation is groaning for it, for the sons of God to be revealed, because what happens? The kingdom happens, I get that, but then there's eternity, folks, right? What is that all about? If that's not a third alternative, I don't know what is. Because we don't completely see what that is, do we? But it is awesome according to this. It is awesome according to this. And when we think about unity, he definitely wants us all together, right? Come together right now, okay? John 17, just to back some of this up with Scripture, Mr. Jacobs mentioned that unity yesterday. He said there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible about unity. Here's a major one right here. John 17:11. You tell me if this isn't about unity. John 17, beginning in verse 11. Listen to it. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one. Get this. So they may be one as we are one. I want you to think of the oneness of the Father and Son. I want you to try to wrap your mind around that. Because when you think of the oneness of the Father and Son, what came from the oneness of the Father and Son? Creation. You and me. This whole shebang. Is that an awesome thing? In many ways it is. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Willingness? I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. My friend and his next door neighbors. That all of them, this isn't just the church now, that all of them may be one. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Oneness. Oneness to what? Oneness. Oneness. What's oneness? Oneness to what? Oneness to what? 1 John 4:16. 1 John 4:16. Oneness to what? To what end? 1 John 4:16. 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Oneness to what? Can I say love? Can I say love? And what is love? What is love? What's the world portray as love? I told you it's a crazy world. The world portrays something as love. But that's not what the love of God is. Love is a commitment. Love is God, what he's all about. And he wants us to get there with him. He wants us, did you read it? Did we not just read it? He wants us to be one with him like the Son is one with him. I want you to think about that for a minute. We don't take enough time to meditate on things, okay? Take that in for a minute. He wants you to be one like the Son is one with him. Take that on for a minute. Swirl that around in your brain. I'm going to give you a moment of silence for that. We sometimes don't take time to think about what Scripture says. And I'll be the first to admit to that. Living in the Washington, D.C. area, it sometimes takes me 2 hours to drive 39 miles home. Worst traffic in the nation, they say. I'm a believer. Now, I do get paid to go through the traffic, so that's good. You know, I'm getting paid for doing that. So, but he wants us to be one, and he's all about love. 2 Peter 4:9, this is a kingdom message. So 2 Peter 4:9, as we start to wind this thing down, 2 Peter 4:9, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Let's go to 1 Peter. And I hope it's 4:9 now. Uh-oh. 1 Peter. I decided to add a couple scriptures. It gets me into trouble at times. Okay. First Peter 4:9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Okay, that's not it. Okay, so here's the deal. So this is a good lesson for me. I'm going to turn it upside down. Okay, do I have 2 Peter up on the screen too? Okay, it's back there. That's good. It's not up here. All right. So, but now let me admit, I made a mistake. Okay? I'm looking for the scripture on the divine nature that's in Peter somewhere, okay, that we can be partakers of that divine nature, okay? And I also got Ephesians 4:24, and I think we can take a look at it. Let's turn over to Ephesians 4:24. See, I'm being vulnerable up here all over the place, okay? But that's okay. I'm setting an example for you, all right? It's okay to make mistakes. Ephesians 4:24, just repent and get your scriptures together next time. Okay, Ephesians 4:24, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Created to be like God. God wants us to be one like Him. Now, let's start to bring it into the home stretch here. I want to give you one more example, because the point I'm trying to make here is when he brings it all together, I'm offering the idea that unity is better. That unity is better. We have to admit that unity is going to be there in the kingdom. And some of us can say there's reasons why there's breaking right now. And I'm here to tell you that that's a great proving ground to try to bring unity about. When you don't have unity, you definitely got a lot of opportunity to bring it about. But let's go a little bit deeper here with another example from nature. And I told you 1 plus 1 is 3 or 50 or 100, right? So one other example about synergy in nature is you can take an iron bar, and it takes about 60,000 PSI, pounds per square inch, to break it with a certain kind of machine. So 60,000 pounds of PSI could break that iron bar. You take a bar of chromium, it's a little bit harder, the same type of bar, if you compare it to the iron, make it chromium now, it's going to take you 70,000 PSI to break that bar. You take then a bar of nickel, it's going to take you 80,000 PSI to break that bar. So if you add those up, 80, 70 and 60, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, okay? My daughter's in the crowd, and I'm using my fingers to count. She's 7. That's not a good thing. Okay, so she tells me you can't use your fingers anymore. So I was trying to teach her arithmetic and stuff at home, and she goes, you can't use your fingers, Daddy. Can't use your fingers. So anyway, you'd think that's 210,000 PSI to break a bar if you put those three things together to make a similar bar. But you know what? It's actually 300,000 PSI when you combine the nickel, the iron, and the chromium. It takes even more exponentially when you combine them together. It is stronger when you combine the different metals together. They become stronger exponentially than they would be individually. Do I need to talk any louder about that point? What did I say about the geese? What did I say about the trees? What did I say about the spectacle of the snowflake? And I could give you tons of other examples within nature. Why am I going to nature? Romans 1:20. Is that a good reason to look at that? To offer those examples? That when nature unifies and unites, the strength increases. But you're going to say God is everything. God is all. God is everything. God doesn't need us, right? I'm not going to answer that question, but I'm going to let you think about it. God doesn't need us, but if he's creating a family, took me a long time before I was able to get married. I got a 7-year-old daughter here, lucky to have one kid. Couldn't have more. Okay? Just didn't work out. We're both healthy, but it doesn't work out. My daughter blows me away. Sometimes she gives me some trouble, but most of the time I'm like overjoyed by it. I live many years without my daughter, without my wife, but I get joy from that relationship that I didn't get by myself. Get a lot of trouble too. But here's the deal. I look at trouble differently than the average person. Bring it on. Bring on the trouble, because you know why? The trouble has helped me grow and expand and become better than I was before. And that's what it's about. It's about getting better, but you don't get better the easy way. It doesn't happen. Getting better doesn't happen an easy way. It's a hard way. Hard. I want you to get that it's hard. I don't mean to scream at you, because I know this. Everybody feels it at one time or another. Everybody feels the hard way at one time or another. You may be feeling good here at the feast right now, but you got to get back into it. I got to go back and work for the government, okay? So he's creating this unity. He's creating this family, and nature says when you bring stuff together, it becomes stronger and better. And I know you're thinking, you know, God can't be stronger or better, but does the Bible have it all in there? I'm just throwing it out there to think about. I'm not creating any new doctrine. I'm just asking you to think about it. So what? What do we do with this information? I don't believe continual fragmentation is good, but it seems to be the way we're going. That creates a field for you to plow in. Every one of you has opportunity in that field. Get out there into that field. I've got some sign-up sheets out there for a nursing home on Friday. I set it up for us, okay? I got to go to Clearwater to speak for a couple days. Giving you guys the work to do here. No, that's not, it just worked out that way, okay? I got to drive 7.5 hours. That's hard, okay? One way and back. But I'm going to be digging driving down there, because I'm feeling good up here right now. I'm an extrovert. I get energy from you guys. You guys got me high right now, okay? Let me qualify that statement. Never smoked a joint in my life, okay? For our young people out there, I'm teaching the infused class, never smoked a joint in my life, okay? Because I can get high on life, man. Little music, certain songs I like too, they get me going. So anyway, but it's natural. It's natural. So what can we do? We can plow that field. We can plow that field. There are lots of ways to do it. Give you a quick story before I finish. Before I came down here to the feast, I got a text from a lady in my group. She meets with us sometimes. She's kind of far out, doesn't get to meet with us on a regular basis. Her husband's got cancer. He's dying, okay? But wait a minute. We're all dying, right? We're all dying, okay? And I don't mean to belittle that point, but I just want you to get something. As I tell you this story, we're all dying. Hear what I'm saying. We are all dying. You could be out on the road. I had a guy driving home. I was in Pittsburgh at the beginning of this month. Had a guy sideswipe me because I took a little bit too long to get into his lane because I was thinking he might be coming. I had the turn signal on and everything. So I'm just moseying into the lane. Starts beeping at me. Pulls up alongside of me. gives me some information, drives into the tunnel, stops his car in the middle of the tunnel in Pittsburgh. There wasn't traffic on his side. He stops his car. Keep driving. I see him on the side. Sticks his head out the window. I don't know what he's saying. I did this, which maybe I shouldn't have done. I'm still human. I'm still human. I'm still working on myself. Okay? But here's what he did next. Here's what he did next. This is what I mean by we're all dying. He pulls up ahead of me a little bit more. Boom! Sideswipes me right on the front bumper area. Now, as I saw this happening, it was weird. And I was like, that guy's turning his car into me. I'm in a tunnel. You can't move over. So he had a nice car, so he didn't do it. He turned back very quickly. Okay? That's what I mean. We're all dying. This world's fading away. Start plowing that field. Story I need to get back to very quickly. This lady's husband's in a hospital, Johns Hopkins Hospital up in Baltimore. She sends me a text Friday night. I'm still not ready for the feast. They're going to pull his oxygen on Monday, which was this past Monday. He's still alive because he decided that, you know, he's got cancer. It's pretty serious. He's not moving. So they're going to pull the plug on Monday. I said, I guess I got to go up there. But in my head, you know, I'm still human. So I got to go up there. I got to drive an hour up, an hour back, go to church, get everything ready. I got to go. The spirit inside of me says, you got to go. So I go up there, and I see this guy in the hospital, and he's, you know, he's got, you know, you can see the blood through the skin now in his arms. He's not moving. I knew this guy was funny, quick wit. You know, he was there. Mentally, he was always happening, and it's not happening now. And I'm like, you know, feeling weird here, you know, in this scene, in the hospital. He wants to hold my hand. You know, I didn't know he was asleep, and he woke up, and he pulled his hand out, and he wanted to hold my hand. So I held his hand. That's all I did. I just held his hand for about half an hour. He fell asleep. The nurses came in. But when I left, he let me know he was glad I was there. He let me know. He couldn't tell me with words, but I knew it. I knew he was glad I was there. That is what it's all about. That is what it's all about. Not calendar calculations and how to say God's name. That is what it's about. And we need to be about it.